He's to Die For by Erin Dunn. Read by Sid Sagar. A book isn't supposed to be a mirror. It's supposed to be a door. Fran Lebowitz. Chapter 1. It's 11:45 on a Friday night, and Rav Trivedi is cranky. It's been a long day and a long week. He should be ordering dessert at his favourite restaurant, or sipping champagne at a gallery opening, or whatever it is normal people do on a Friday night in New York City, but instead he had to work late, and now he's inching his way cross town in the back of a yellow cab that reeks of cotton candy. It's taken 10 minutes to travel 2 blocks, and the pink air freshener swinging from the rear view is so overpowering it's making him dizzy. He tries to lower the window to vent the sickly sweet odour, but the button doesn't respond. "Excuse me," he says, leaning forward. "The window back here won't go down."
"I don't open windows in traffic," the driver informs him. "Exhaust fumes give me a headache."
Right. Rav fades back into the seat and considers his options. As usual, his instincts are torn between the two sides of his upbringing, as if one of his parents is perched on each shoulder. On the left sits his lordship, English to a fault, counselling his son to bear it in dignified silence. On the right is Eva, native New Yorker and consummate diva, quoting the yellow taxi passenger Bill of Rights and reminding Rav that he is the customer here. He tries to split the difference. Only the trouble is, he leans forward again, "this air freshener is giving me a headache, so we have a dilemma." Dark eyes meet his in the rear view, sizing him up. Rav catches his own reflection in the acrylic divider. Young, pretty, scrubbed and tweezed and carefully styled. Bespoke suit, high-maintenance haircut, Oxford English accent. He can guess well enough what it adds up to in the driver's mind.
"Sorry to hear it, princess. You don't like it? Get a limo next time."
He punches the radio and turns it up loud. Apparently, Rav isn't the only one having a day. He surrenders to his fate, tucking his fingers under his nose and letting the delicate cedar scent of his hand lotion do what it can against the smell. It's going to cling to him like a bad cologne, isn't it? Eau de Coney Island, cotton candy and grime, with subtle notes of despair. A call comes in on his phone. It's work, because of course it is. Rav hits decline, but before he's even stuffed it back in his pocket, it buzzes with a message. Pick up. It's vibrating again. This time, Rav takes the call. "You have reached the voicemail of Detective Rav Trivedi of the New York City Police Department. I can't take your call right now because I don't want to. If you require immediate assistance, you can contact my partner, Detective Will Shepherd, unless you are the aforementioned partner, in which case you can kindly sod off because it's been a very long day and I have a date with a strapping fireman and some massage oil." In his dreams, anyway. There's a pause on the line. "Are you done?" "It's nearly midnight, Will. I've spent the past 4 hours canvassing every bingo hall in Brooklyn, and I'm in a mood. Cry me a river. I spent my day sifting through trash under the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway." Rav grimaces. "Touché. Anyway, what's so bad about bingo halls? Don't tell me you're afraid of a bunch of harmless old biddies." "Harmless? Clearly you haven't spent enough time in the company of old biddies. Young men in well-tailored suits are like catnip to them. You wouldn't believe the sorts of things that come out of their mouths. Such as, one of them called me a sleek sports car she'd like to take for a joyride. Another had some engaging suggestions for how I might make use of my handcuffs. Yikes. My trouser pockets are full of Werther's originals. The butterscotch? That's not so. I didn't put them there."
"Wow," Will says, laughing. "And here I thought interviewing drug dealers was dangerous.
More guns, less inappropriate touching. Where are you anyway? Is that music I hear?" "In a cab, and that last part is debatable." Rav sticks a finger in his ear. "The worst part is that I got absolutely nowhere. Please tell me you had more luck."
"Might have. Wanted to run it by you while it's fresh in my mind.
Nobody saw our Vic, but they did see his car.